This episode of the Deck Tees Podcast is brought to you by Gathering Magic and CoolStuffInc.com. Become a part of their customer rewards program when you make any purchase and receive discounts on all future orders. That is CoolStuffInc.com. Welcome to episode 99 of the Deck Tees Podcast. I am your host, Erin Campbell. We as a community were hit with a lot of information this past weekend while we were glued to our computer screens watching Pro Tour Magic 2015. And I figured it was a good excuse to gather up some of my best squirrel friends from previous episodes to help you all sort it out and give us a chance to dish about it. So welcome back to the show, Hallie, Maria, and Renee. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How's it going?
Going pretty well.
Yeah. Very excited to have you all back.
Thanks for having us, Erin. We love you. We heart you.
Yeah.
We aren't given a choice.
Oh, Renee, I have missed you. So for people who are listening who may not remember you all, and I don't know how that's possible, why don't we go down the list and remind people who you are and tell us a little bit about yourselves. So Renee, we will start with you.
All right. Well, my name is Renee Hupp. I currently write for MTG Bro Deals on a semi-regular basis. Should be picking up more here now that I am done with my master's program. I have been certified to graduate. Yay me!
Yeah.
And then I am also helping out with the MTG community calendar on Twitter, which is something I do with my husband, Trevor. So we aggregate all of the things that are going on in the community during the weekends, from tiny events to charity events to the opens, and put them all on a Google Calendar that's public for everyone to access and get really easy information, and it's pushed out directly through a Twitter feed. And then I go around to just about everywhere I can and meet all you lovely people because I really enjoy talking to you all.
Well, we enjoy talking to you too. So the calendar that you two are working on, I want to talk about that for a second. Is that sort of like what MTG Mom was known for?
Yeah, and then Yu-Gi-Oh! Dad took it over, and we noticed that those groups weren't necessarily capturing the smaller events that were happening, our local store, TD4W in Dover, Delaware, was doing a Mox Ruby standard event, so if you got first place, you got this Mox Ruby, but they needed 20 participants, and they hadn't been able to get up to that number, just because the information wasn't getting pushed out enough to a wide enough audience. Mm-hmm. So we started doing this in order to try and capture those smaller events that stores are doing but don't have those automatic backup advertisement for that Star City or TCG Player give out mm-hmm. in their packaging. That way, you know, the bigger community can know about it and can hear about these great prizes that smaller stores are doing but that aren't necessarily cash prizes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting how much work goes into just trying to plan where to go. Like, you know, I'm one of those people where I try to go to all the events. And, you know, you would think a site like Star City would have a better way of looking at that. But even theirs looks really antiquated with the scroll down. And it kind of looks the same as the TCG Player one. And we won't even get into what the motherships looks like. But, you know, it is really hard. And I'm surprised nobody's thought of doing this before because we really do need it.
It takes us about 20 to 25 hours a week to put all of this together.
Wow.
So it takes a lot of work, and it's definitely not for everybody. And the more people we get to contribute to us on Twitter, which I'll go over at the end of the show like we normally do, the easier it is for us to do. It cuts out down on our hours, Facebook events, all that kind of stuff. Just make it so much easier because we can copy and paste it right into the Google Calendar and have easy access rather than having to type up all the information individually.
Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly appreciate the hard work.
Thank you.
Maria,
I will forward that on to him.
Please do. I do love Trevor. I've said it before. I love Trevor probably more than I should. But
I'm a little worried sometimes.
You and Hallie have a lot in common.
Yeah.
So, Maria, I'm sure people know who you are. I don't know how they can't, but remind us just in case.
Sure. I'm one of the hosts of Magic the Amateuring, a podcast for new players coming into Magic for the first time, or veteran players returning to the game, or anybody who just likes to have a little fun with Magic and laugh about it from time to time.
I got to meet you at GP Minneapolis.
Yes, and, yes.
You were super lovely.
Oh, thank you. As were you.
I was a little sad I didn't get to meet Megan, though. I think she was in Texas at the time.
Yeah, she was in Texas at a wedding, but she will be joining me for Pro Tour, God, for GP Portland. I've just upped her status, you guys. We'll be going back in time and playing the Pro Tour in Portland. No, for GP Portland for Team Sealed, so we're really excited about that. Are you heading over there, Erin?
Hallie will be.
Yes.
I could not. I was, so at the time I had to choose because GP Portland was shaping up to be kind of expensive for me. Like I think to fly out there alone, it was like $500. And at the time it was like, okay, so I had committed to Boston and then Portland came around and I was like, well, I can't do both. And ultimately for the cost of just the flight to Portland, I could have paid for all of Boston. So I chose Boston and then unfortunately my mother passed away and then my friends had a father who passed away. So we really couldn't go to Boston at all. And that left me some free time where I can go to an event, but I still can't quite afford Portland, especially this late in the game. It's really, really expensive now. So now I'm going to go to Gen Con. But I do get the playmat because I had an agreement with Tim Shields where I was going to plug GP Portland on my past month's episodes, which I did. And part of my fee was I just wanted a playmat.
What is the playmat?
A Johnny Steadfast.
Nice.
It's just really nice,
a
Johnny
playmat.
It is. And it's so funny because I remember when Ricky Hayashi was sort of the middleman. He was like, you know, we'd like to discuss the opportunity to promote this with you. Do you do promotions? And I've never done that before.
Like, well.
So I'm like, I was like, sure. And he's like, what are your rates? What would you charge for something like this? And I'm like, a playmat? Like, I was like, I don't know what I'm worth. You know, I don't want to.
Look, if my job would pay me in playmats, I would be fine.
So, Jeebus Jack, come on, get me stuff, please.
So all I had to do was a recorded intro for a month, which was four episodes, and then I got the playmat. So I guess I'm a cheap date, but that's really all I wanted.
Well, if you give me a picture of yourself, I'll put it on a little popsicle stick and carry it around.
Fantastic. I'll have to give you like lots of red hair, though. I have really big hair, so you'll have to like poof it out a little bit. And
oh, perfect.
Or
perfect.
Maybe you could take like the Chandra, the Funko doll, and put like some big like clown hair on it, and that could be
clown hair.
I have really big hair.
I saw your hair. It is not clown hair.
It's big. It's big. It has its own.
Well, I'm a fan of big hair, so.
All right, and Hallie, you will be at GP Portland. You were just on the show.
Yeah, I was on the M15 spoiler episode.
Mm-hmm. And people seem to really like you.
I'm glad. I'm surprised, and I'm really glad though.
You're surprised that people like you?
I don't know. Like I'm just sort of surprised that I've only been playing Magic for about 2 years now, and I'm fairly new to the tournament scene, and I'm still really surprised with the amount of positive feedback that I get from people.
That's interesting. I had a feeling people would like you, and I know even Genesodes gave you her seal of approval. When Jen found out you were coming on the show, she was like, I like her. And I'm like, okay, good. So, because, you know, Jen can be a little possessive. I love her, but that's just what it is sometimes. So now that we know who you all are, let's get down to business. So I assume you are like me and you are all watching the Pro Tour coverage.
Yes.
And we got hit with a lot. It was a little overwhelming at times. So the first thing I want to talk about is the decks, because I admit that I wasn't as invested in this Pro Tour. I was really expecting some spicy tech and some aristocrats type shenanigans, like, you know, and when Mono Blue and Mono Black debuted back in Pro Tour Theros, I think it was, and it felt new and it felt exciting. I really felt like we didn't have that. Hallie, what did you think of the decks? Were you interested in this?
I was just interested to see what people were coming up with to beat Mono Black.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually a little surprised that we didn't see Mono Black in the top eight. Like, we saw the Black-White Midrange deck, which is very similar, but I didn't see a single Mono Black deck. Mm-hmm. And it was really pleasantly surprising, actually.
Mm-hmm. Renee, what did you think about the decks that we saw on coverage?
I was really bored with the ones we saw on coverage. Yeah. Like, I feel like it's the same decks we've been seeing at the Star City Opens, and I've been seeing in even my local metagame, which isn't, you know, always tier one decks. So it was kind of disappointing to see that the pros are sticking with the safe bets rather than kind of branching out like they have in the past to really bring us something new and exciting to watch.
Mm-hmm. I think part of the problem, and I've heard several pros say this because I've had them on the show and I've run into them at events, and it's not that they don't want to build necessarily, but they're sort of the mindset of what's out there is already so good that, you know, unless it can compete with that, why, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's sort of the attitude they have. And then of course it made it more sad when they announced it was going to be all standard pro tours. So we were like, oh, this is going to be great. No. Yeah. Maria, what did you think? Were there any decks that interested you, or were you sort of like us, where you were just sort of apathetic?
Well, yeah, like the rest of you, I wanted to see some really spicy new stuff, right? I didn't think that that probably would happen just with the new influx of M15. Now, I'm a primarily limited player, so the draft is what interests me most. But I did watch through the standard play as well, and I was particularly interested, actually, in the winning deck from Yvonne Flock.
Really?
Well, because it was so boring, and it didn't have its own win condition other than perhaps milling the opponent out, but that it stole the win condition, and I was just like, rude.
It was so boring that it was almost interesting.
Yeah, right. I was happy to see a little green-white voice of resurgence running around. That kind of made me happy inside, because not because I'm like, oh, I want to play that deck, but because I love the art on Voice of Resurgence. Winona Nelson, everybody. But yeah. So like, being somebody who also aligns herself like as red, black, you know, like fast and aggressive and everything, that ultimate control deck just really blew my mind. I mean, I think if I had to play against that thing, I might murder somebody.
Renee, what did you think about things?
That blue-white deck, I played against somebody who had just about that exact deck. I think the sideboard may have been different in the finals of a 8-man win-a-box at GPDC. And when we finally got done, it wound up being a 2-hour match because those things don't have time limits.
Oh, God.
And because I kept stalling him out. I was playing my green-black constellation that just kind of like keeps stalling the board. And he would... I was finally like, have you had fun playing with yourself? Can I go leave and you can continue to enjoy yourself, because I'm done here.
It was interesting because there was a debate happening on Twitter yesterday where people were very upset about this. And I know people were really upset about Sphinx's Revelation and seeing how broken it was. And people had the attitude of, are you happy, wizards? Look what you've done. And I was the one, I found it very interesting because, you know, personally, I feel like, you know, people were saying how unfun it is to have your spells countered. And I feel it's more painful to face a burn deck. I've been very vocal about the fact I don't like burn decks. And it hurts me more to just get burn spells flung at my dome. And it's interesting how people feel differently, where some people would rather experience that than experience dissolve, syncopate, sphinx, dissolve. Which camp do you guys fall in? Would you rather face a burn deck and just take 20 to the dome and know you can do very little about it? Or would you just rather exhaust somebody with counter spells?
Oh, well, man, I think it's the difference between people who would rather be die in a fiery car wreck or drown. I don't
that
know.
Seems good.
Hallie, which way would you prefer to go?
Well, I actually learned how to play Magic from a burn player. So I've dealt with burn so much that I'm kind of immune to it by now.
Okay.
And I think the reason why I started playing the Sphinx's Revelation deck so early is because I was just tired of getting burnt in the face.
Now, but I remember you saying, weren't you a fan of the control deck, right?
I do play control quite a bit. I hate control mirrors, though.
Okay.
That's really frustrating.
Okay. Were there any pros you all were rooting for? Because I was a little upset because Light of My Life, Fire of My Loins, Reduke, did not
yeah.
make it to day two. I was very sad. I couldn't go on. I couldn't go on.
There was a guy that I had recently play tested with called the Citrus Assassin, his nickname.
Great
orange
guy.
Yeah, and he made day two, and he was sitting there in the top 8 draft pod on the second date, and it, like, I had just played with him 2 days earlier, so I felt pretty proud inside.
And he was the one repping the meadery, right? He had the t-shirt and the sleeves.
Yes. My nice. Hometown store, Mead Hall.
Mead Hall is awesome. Like, one thing I was really surprised about when I was at GP Minneapolis is the presence that the meadery has. Like, you got, I mean, everybody had your t-shirts on, and a lot of people had the play mats and the sleeves, and I don't think I've ever really seen a store represent like that. And I've been to quite a few GPs, and I was just amazed. I've never seen such a thing.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, the branding is, like, cool. Like, the logo and stuff looks good. And when you go in the store is one of the nicest places to play that I've ever been. It's just, like, the environment inside the store is cool. You want to be there. And the people who run it are also really great guys. So it's got a triple threat in that.
Hallie, who were you rooting for?
I actually have a hometown player who was at the Pro Tour also, who I was rooting for. A guy named Rob Hunsaker, who I've play tested with a bit. And I guess is most notable because he won the SCG Open in Portland fairly recently.
Okay.
But he actually made a really deep run on day one. He was undefeated in the standard portion for the first five rounds of standard and faced a lot of really tough competition, a lot of Pro Tour Hall of Famers. And he actually finished, I think he finished 30th or something like that, but did really well in his second Pro Tour.
That's not bad at all. Renee, who are you rooting for?
After watching the last Modern Pro Tour, I have really enjoyed watching Patrick Dickmon play. Mm-hmm. And after the first day, it seemed like he was doing really well, but then they stopped talking about him, so I guess he kind of dropped off the map. Mm-hmm. And then I was rooting for Owen Turtenwald because he's just always so cool to watch, you know, get excited. Like, he's always so vested in what he's playing.
Yeah.
And it's always so very apparent that he is really vested in what he's playing, and I enjoy seeing his reactions.
Yeah, there was really nobody I was rooting for. I mean, once Reed was eliminated, and I was very excited about Conley's deck when he revealed that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So I was rooting for Conley. That, unfortunately, did not seem to go well. I was happy that Paul Rietzel made the Hall of Fame. But other than that, like I said, I really enjoyed the John Finkel-Bob Maher match. That was fun to watch. But yeah, there was nobody. I feel like once it got to the top eight, I was more excited about decks than people. I really enjoyed the Jun Planeswalker list. So I was really excited about that. I didn't care which one of them won as long as it was that deck. But I just wasn't as invested as I was in previous years. So.
Do you guys feel like you're rooting for LSV to lose so he can start doing coverage soon?
He's
one of those people where he's good at everything he does, where when he writes articles for Channel Fireball, they're good articles. When he's on the coverage, he amps it up a notch. And when he does streams, you enjoy watching his stream. I can't think of anything he does that's bad.
No, I love watching him do coverage. I mean, or listening to him rather. I mean, he's just so great, and those puns are gold. So I'm like, oh, I want you to do really well, but I also just want you to do some commentary.
I feel that way about Randy Buehler. Like, I love when Randy's on coverage, and I definitely notice when he's not there, and I love his excitement, and especially the fact that him and Luis have been at this game for so long, the fact that they're still excited about things. You know, you would expect them to maybe be a little jaded, or maybe, you know, oh, we're just doing this for the paycheck, but no, they are as excited about it now as they were then, and it never gets old. So I do want to rant about one thing, though, and I know I'm probably the only one who noticed this, but what were some of those guys wearing at the Pro Tour?
Oh, my God. Did you see Rich on day two? He looked like they dressed him like a potato.
Oh,
it's not his fault. I know they have stylists. Wizards, listen in.
I actually didn't mind Rich at all. I was bothered by, well, first off, I was bothered by Jared Betcher, who did get awarded, I think it was Rookie of the Year. Was it with that?
Right, yeah.
And they had this setting that was made to look like a couple of couches. And he's just slouched in the couch, and he's in his sandals. I can see up his shorts. He's sitting on the couch. He's just like, yeah, I'm Rookie of the Year. And I'm like, wait, you've got your hat on. You're at the Pro Tour. Like, I'm not expecting Roberto Gonzalez, but you're at the Pro Tour. You could still put on a nice t-shirt, like the Channel Fireball guys. You know, they had their little button downs, and they shaved, and a nice pair of jeans. And I was just amazed. And then Ben Stark, Hall of Famer Ben Stark, he shows up in red track pants, Like, he works at a hospital, and this black shirt, and even his posture is atrocious. And he and I'm like, Ben Stark, girl, what you doing? And I was just amazed at what some of these people came to the approach you were wearing, where maybe it's me, but I would put a little more effort into my appearance if I was at the pro tour. Like, am I alone? Like,
no, there was a very high volume of sandals.
And this is the first time maybe we've had like a really summery pro tour, I guess. Like, normally we don't have corset pro tours.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So maybe that contributed to it. But I feel like if I can sit there and look at the camera and be like, even my husband wouldn't dress like that to the pro tour, something is wrong.
Yeah. I was even seeing people on Twitter complaining about what the announcers were wearing. Like, there were people that were like, Wizard says you can come work there and wear jeans, but they make their commentators wear suits. That's hypocrisy. And I was like, God forbid they encourage, you know, players to look better when they go to events. You know, how dare they, you know? And I thought it was ludicrous that people were upset that the commentators had to dress up.
Oh, I don't even think it's ever really suits. It's more like a coat with like a t-shirt normally, or just, you know, even a nice button-up. It's not like these guys are in ties all the time. Mm-hmm. It's like dress casual. It's not super formal business attire.
Right.
It's so you can look good for pictures and the camera and everything else, because this stuff will live on the internet forever.
Mm-hmm. I will let you guys in on one little bit of insider dirt, though, and you only heard it here first. So I can't say who told me this, but when Jared Betcher, like when he was asked to take pictures, they did make him take off the Pokemon hat. Yeah. Yeah. And somebody we know made him do it. I can't name names.
Well, I wonder why.
Just saying. But I remember I was ranting about it on Facebook, and somebody who was there had IM'd me and said, do you know he got asked to take it off? And I was like, oh. I was like, who did it? They were like, well, I can't tell you, but somebody you know asked him to take his hat off. And I was like, score. So a little bit of dirt for you there.
I wonder who, and I wonder why.
You know, it's just like I said, you know, it's the pro tour. So along with the pro tour, there, Hélène Bergio made an appearance, and she dropped some bombshells on us regarding Premier Play. There's only going to be standard pro tours next seasons.
Yeah.
Hallie, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I was telling you guys earlier, I have a lot of feelings.
Fire away. Feel the feels.
So I understand a lot of the reasons behind why they wanted to do this. Like, I understand that Standard is a really accessible format, and I understand that it best showcases the new cards and the new sets and everything like that. And I understand that Modern, by contrast, has a really high barrier to entry. Like, it's a lot easier for someone to watch the Pro Tour and see someone playing Goblin Rabble Master and say, hey, I want to buy that card and play it in Standard and go to a store and spend a couple bucks on it. And it's a lot harder for them to watch people play, say, White Rock and say, ooh, I want to buy Tarmogoyfs, and then go and buy them. Like, I understand all of that. But at the same time, I feel like this is sort of signaling to me, just as a consumer, that Wizards just isn't accomplishing the goals that it set out to accomplish with Modern as a format. Mm-hmm. Like, they were trying to make it this sort of bridge between Standard and Legacy, and it's leaning a lot closer to Legacy in terms of the complexity and the price of cards especially. Mm-hmm. And it's just, even though they've put out products like Modern Masters, the cards are still really expensive and it's hard to get people into the format. And I just think it's kind of unfortunate because I really enjoy watching Modern and playing it too.
Maria, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I would like to see, obviously, different formats. I mean, being a limited gal, like, that kind of stuff really gets me going, so I'm sad about that. And I'm also sad about, you know, stuff like Modern too, even though I probably know even less about that. I remember watching like Matthias Hunt's crazy combo deck at the Pro Tour, and you know, he's a friend, and it was not only because of him, but because of the unique nature of the deck that he built. And everybody in the Twitch chat, I remember, was extremely excited to see it. And like, look at this new, innovative, different kind of thing that is crazy win conditions and these totally neat interactions and that sort of thing. And you just don't get that quite as much in Standard.
Mm-hmm. Renee, what are your thoughts on this?
Like, on one hand, it seems like they're only going to do this for a year to test it out. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of okay with that. I understand that they're really trying to showcase Standard and showcase what the new cards can do to players that are just tuning in for the Pro Tour. On the other hand, I'm really sad that we aren't going to get to see things like Block, where we got to see the cards used in super innovative ways because they just didn't have the full toolbox, but they need to be used to the same efficiency. Mm-hmm. And then things like Modern, where like Mario was saying, we got to see awesome, crazy interactions just because people didn't want to play the same deck. And that's really entertaining to me. Like, Matthias Hunt got me into wanting to really play Modern after that deck, even if I'm not playing that deck. Mm-hmm. I don't quite understand their reasoning behind it. I can imagine that has something to do with them not being able to fulfill the goals that they set forth as quickly as they need to, and they're realizing that. Mm-hmm. So maybe by taking some of the pressure off of Modern events at the higher level, it can maybe backpedal some of the pressure that us more common players are feeling on prices, because Modern GPs are, there are more Modern GPs for next year from what I could see just looking over them. Events for TOs have been opened up to be any format they want, rather than just being restricted to either standard or sealed or modern. So I don't think Wizards is not supporting these formats as much as it is they're leaving it to the localized communities to decide whether they want to support the formats. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I'm seeing now that people in my community are like, well, I was building this Modern deck, but if Wizards isn't going to support it, I guess I should sell it and put all my money into Standard. Mm. And I'm like, I don't quite think you should do that, because I don't think that's what's happening mm-hmm. here. So it's very hard to walk this line.
Mm-hmm. You said something really interesting, Hallie. You had made a comment about how Modern wasn't shaping up the way that they had hoped it would be in terms of, you know, card availability and affordability. But to play devil's advocate, isn't that sort of their own fault? Like, wasn't, because if I remember correctly, Modern Masters was sort of an attempt to do that, where we're going to reprint these cards. And now it almost kind of backfired, where, like, I'm on the hunt for Tarmogoyfs myself. Like, I'm saving up money to buy a Rock deck. And it's actually more money to get the Modern Masters Tarmogoyf than it is to get a Future Sight Tarmogoyf.
Right.
And it's been like that for a while.
Yeah, I guess it was sort of a slippery slope for them, because they, at the same time, they wanted to both reprint the cards to give people access to it, but they didn't want to reprint them in such large quantities that the Tarmogoyfs that people already had would depreciate too much in value. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of hard to walk that line, and it's hard to figure out how to balance those two seemingly contradictory things. But anyway, what I was going to say also was, I guess I wouldn't be too opposed to seeing all Standard Pro Tours for a year, but I'm really hoping that the Standard format will be a lot more diverse and a lot more, it will inspire more people to innovate than the Standard format that we just had. Because If we had that kind of setup for this year, and it was just four Pro Tours of Pack Rat, like,
ugh,
I don't think I could take that.
Well, even the pros weren't happy about it. I mean, I follow several of them, and Paulo was not pleased, and they were all sort of chiming in, and even they were kind of like, really, like, I don't know, like, and they need it too. You know, I think they need to keep it fresh, and they need to keep it interesting, and you know, you certainly don't want them to get burned out, because they're a big part of the reason why we watch these things. And and part of me wonders if they knew it was going to be like this, like, when, you know, I would imagine that they have some sort of foresight when they're creating these sets and these blocks and things like that. And, you know, did they know that, you know, Pack Rat was going to take off the way that it did? Did they know that Devotion was going to be so strong? And you have to kind of wonder, you know, was this planned, or are they all sort of going, uh-oh, like, you know? So. So the other thing you brought up that was really interesting was they're changing the formats a little bit in terms of how we get to the Pro Tour. And I'm a little unclear on this. So you may need to sort of set me back on the right path. So if I'm understanding this correctly, there's now going to be PPTQs?
I don't think the community has agreed on the acronym yet.
Yeah, that acronym is a real mouthful.
Okay, but the bottom line, if I'm understanding correctly, there's like pre-PTQs now.
Yeah.
And they're done at the local store level. And if you win that, or you do you have to win it outright, or do you just do well at
you
it?
You have to win it.
Okay, so you have to win that, and then when you win that, you get to a regional PTQ. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay, and then do you have to win that outright?
You have to either top four or top four. You have to either top four or top eight, depending on attendance.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And then those four or those eight get to go to the Pro Tour.
Yep.
Okay. What do we think about
this? So there's no more normal PTQ?
No.
Oh. Oh, boy.
Renee, what do you think about this?
I'm very exasperated. I'm trying to explain this to my local game store owner who doesn't quite use the internet as much as other people do. She uses it for card prices and that kind of stuff, but doesn't necessarily read the New Wizards site, which is a whole other story altogether. but I'm trying to explain this to her, and she's like, awesome, so I can have these PPTQ or whatever. And I'm like, well, yeah, but you need an L2 judge. And she's like, oh, well, the closest L2 judge is an hour and a half away.
Ooh.
And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, we keep trying to get the L1s down here to shadow Trevor and, you know, certify him once he passes the test and all that nonsense. But nobody can ever make it down for an event because they're an hour away. Like, we have no certified judges within an hour of us.
And they also increase the standards for what it takes to become an L2.
Yeah, so it's like what was going to be a 6-month process is now almost, you know, is now a little bit longer depending on how often he can get to a judge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of hard to do when you live in a pretty isolated area. So right now he's doing the L0 thing or whatever you want to call it, where he's helping her run the events and judge them. But we can't get an L2 down here to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We have a huge community that's growing, but we can't support it because we don't have a judge staff.
Right. Now,
Hallie, yeah, I'm not too happy.
Now, Hallie, when I had you on my show early on in the episode, I asked you where you wanted to take your Magic career, and you were very open about the fact that you want to be on the Pro Tour and you want to go all the way to the top. How does this new process affect somebody like you who has that goal? Like, do you think you still want to do that? Like, this is still appealing to you, or does it kind of turn you off a little?
I still want to do it, but it's going to be a lot more difficult now. Especially because I live in Seattle, where our PTQs regularly attract over 300 people.
Wow.
And I was actually reading something that Jerry Thompson had written on Twitter. Maybe you'd seen it. He was responding to the whole controversy. A lot of people were chatting about it. And he said something like, well, it's going to be a lot easier to win a small tournament and then top eight another small tournament. And I guess in some places in the U.S., that's the reality, and maybe it will be easier, but I don't see that happening in Seattle. Like, I don't see fewer people coming out to these PPTQs than already come out to PTQs now. I'm expecting them to be just as big, and so it's hard enough to win a tournament with over 300 people. So having another hurdle to jump over after that, it was a little discouraging to me when I first read about it, but I'm going to do my best, and I'm going to just train harder, I guess, start grinding more games on Modo or something like that.
Jeez. Particularly because the PPTQs are still x3, right?
Yeah, I think
so. And then the regionals are x5 or 6?
I think they're pretty healthy, yeah, the healthy amount of points.
Yeah, so, I mean, the grinders are still going to go after them trying to get the buys for the next season, which also changed, but that was a while ago. So, I mean, I think it's just a lot of change at once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was also talk on Twitter of them possibly backpedaling on the standard Pro Tour thing because they weren't expecting the backlash that they got for it. So I think that was the only thing I was upset about, you know, was the fact that I do worry about Modern being supported. And especially now, if I understand it correctly, these PPTQs and even the PTQs, they can be any format, right? Like, we're not on seasons anymore.
Yeah, that was actually what I was just going to say. It's not necessarily that there won't be diversity of formats. Like, I'm not worried about that because it seems like I've seen Helene and Aaron Forsyth have already tweeted things to the extent of, oh, we're going to step in and make sure that all the different formats are represented. What I'm worried about is that there aren't set seasons anymore.
Yeah.
you don't have a modern season or a sealed season where you can go to several of these PTQs week after week and keep practicing the same format and getting better at it. It's like you have to do this whole juggling act now, where one week you could be playing standard and the next week you could play, you could be playing modern. And you have to just keep switching back and forth, and you don't have the same amount of time to practice and hone your skills with a certain deck or in a certain format.
Mm-hmm. Or you could win a PPTQ with one format, qualify for regionals. It's a whole different format. Maybe it's one you're not as strong at, where you're like,
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely something to think about. And they're also bringing the premier events back to Magic Online. Mm-hmm. Are we more optimistic about it this time around?
No.
No. No hesitation at all. Yeah, I...
You know me.
You know, I. That's why I keep you around. Yeah, I was a little surprised, too, with, again, the lack of modern, where I was looking at the seasons for the remaining, you know, Magic Online seasons for the rest of the year, and the only modern one was back in March. So there's no modern MOX events for the rest of the year. Again, it's all standard. It's all sealed. There's a Legacy. There's a Vintage Masters, even. And then there's one, like, for the Holiday Cube. And I'm like, really? Like, what? You know, like, I'm just not really feeling the modern love here. And I just worry that, you know, it's not going to get the support that it needs. And I went to modern because I wasn't enjoying standard. And I've loved modern since I started it. And I love it enough where I want to invest almost $1,000 into a deck. And it just makes me really sad that I just worry. That's all. Like, I don't think it's the end of the world, but I would hate to see the format I enjoy. There was also talk of the fact that SCG has started picking up modern, and that maybe this is Wizards' way of kind of letting them have it almost, whereas they do so well with everything they already do. And Wizards kind of going, okay, you guys can make modern a thing. You do that. Like, do you think that's a thing?
No, because TCG Player has been doing modern for a while. So I don't think it's just giving it to Star City as much as it maybe is giving it to the secondary market in general.
Okay.
You know, if Wizards wants to do that, that's their prerogative. But it's certainly not just giving it to Star City. It's if anything, it's giving it to the secondary market in general, which has been making it the star that it has been anyway.
Modern?
Yeah.
That's true. So, was there anything else on our minds that we wanted to talk about while we were here today? I know we only had the premier play topics, but is there anything else you guys want to get off your chests, or?
Which GPs are we all headed to next year?
Oh, gosh. I think
all of them.
Well, speaking of GPs, did you guys notice that block of three that doesn't quite have a location yet?
Oh, yeah. Super secret GP.
Do we think it's Modern Masters 2?
That's what people are saying.
Okay.
What? I'm so excited.
That was adorable.
You guys, when Modern Masters happened, like, I had not been playing for very long, and I was not familiar with any of the cards that were in all of Modern Masters. But the draft was so fun because the decks were so powerful, and you were left with, like, so many playables every time that it was just a ton of fun for me. And blue-black fairies, am I right?
Oh, yeah.
It's funny because I just got done. I played at a PTQ not last weekend, but the weekend before in Chicago or near Chicago, and fairies was huge. There were two fairies decks in the top eight. I was just like, what? Like, I had nothing wrong with that, but I haven't seen it really make a showing in a while. And those were just the two that made top eight. I had seen it sprinkled throughout the room, and I was just like, when did this happen? Like, I didn't understand, and it was very troubling. And yeah, it's definitely a deck that's pretty scary. I don't rule that deck out at all. So, So Grand Prix. I know that there's a modern Grand Prix in Omaha, I want to say. I got my little sketch. Omaha, January 10th through the 11th. Omaha is proving surprisingly hard to get to, though. Like, I would have to fly there, but all the flights I was looking at required a layover in Denver of at least 2 hours, and I'm not layover girl, so that's not appealing. So I was going to do Omaha, but now I'm not so sure. So I think it's just going to be, I got my little calendar here. Okay, so Charlotte, June 13th to the 14th, which Star City is running, which means it's going to be awesome. And then I chose, where did my little calendar go? Pittsburgh, which is a modern GP. I have friends who live in Philly, so that's not going to be too bad. The Pro Tour Milwaukee is where I live.
Yeah.
I'm telling you guys, I'm going to have a slumber party at my house. I will bring the Mall Madness and the Girl Talk and the Dream Phone and the Sangria Slushies. And you guys come. We'll have an
I'm bringing so many pillows.
Deal. We'll have an amazing time. We'll just go through the Hall of Fame and pick out who's cutest. And we'll draw little hearts on their faces, and it'll be fabulous. Open invitation. You're all welcome.
New cute drafts instead of, like, you know, actual player drafts?
We could do that.
That would be adorable and awesome.
So what GPs are you guys hitting up? Renee, do you know?
All right. So for the rest of this year, I was going to try and make it to Orlando, but I don't think that's going to happen because I start my new job tomorrow and I don't think I'll have any vacation time at that point. Mm-hmm. However, we got GP New Jersey, aka Somerset, which is Legacy. And I should have a deck by then.
And how awesome does that look?
That looks awesome. I'm so excited. They announced all that brainstorm stuff today and I'm like, I'm going.
Are you too familiar?
Ooh.
Okay, so you just normal registration.
Another Star City event.
Another Star City event, knocking it out of the park. Just for normal basic registration, you are guaranteed the playmat, the Brainstorm playmat. You are guaranteed the Brainstorm deck box. And you are guaranteed a pack of the Brainstorm sleeves. And that's just basic registration. That's not VIP or anything. That's just you showed your ass up. You get all
that stuff. I need to start going to more Legacy GPs.
Yeah, it looks amazing. And then it gets even better if you do get VIP. I think you get like an extra deck box, an extra thing of sleeves and the water bottle. And they're really just showing people how it's done. It looks amazing.
You get your own room. They now have a VIP ballroom.
Wow. That's some Celine Dion shit right there.
I want dancing to go on.
I want someone to bring me dice on a silver platter.
I want Moscato with dice in it. Yeah, no, you know, come on, give it to me.
I just want to be carried in like in the Ten Commandments, the idol scene. Like, yes, I want belly dancer flower people to lead the way. And I want muscular judges with ripped shirts to carry me in. And that's what I want. So.
We'll and a shiro, one shiro for everyone.
Hallie, where are you headed next year or this year?
So this coming weekend, I'm going to GP Portland.
Jealous.
And for the rest of the year, I'm probably going to Los Angeles, possibly, which is going to be a standard GP. It'll depend on what standard looks like then, if I'm excited about any of the decks. But I had a whole bunch lined up for next year, and it's looking like I could possibly go to one GP in every GP format.
Oh.
Because there's Team Limited in San Jose. And then there's regular single-player limited in Vancouver. There's standard in San Diego. There's modern in Oklahoma City. And then here in Seattle, we have a legacy GP that the legacy community here is going crazy over already, even though it's like 14 months from now.
Yeah, I actually thought about that because I haven't been to Seattle in quite a while. It's November 7th and 8th of next year. And I was just like, yeah, if only I knew someone in Seattle I could stay with. And yeah, so I may have to come back and visit you guys because I miss your faces. And Seattle is lovely. So,
yeah.
So Maria, any GPs on your schedule?
Well, as I said before, GP Portland, you guys, represent. I'm really excited. It's going to be my first team event. And that is going to bring with it all of its own unique challenges, I'm sure. So I'm really excited for that. I don't know, just looking at the list for next year. All right, who's coming to Cleveland?
Cleveland.
Ooh, and I mean, any excuse I can get to get over to Britain in Liverpool, I mean, I just might take it. I'm a big fish and chips person.
Who's on your team, by the way, Maria?
So my team for this time around is Megan, one of my other co-hosts of Magic the Amateuring, and the judge who joins us on our show, Judge Rob McKenzie, who's a level 3 judge, is going to be our third member. And so I'm really liking that because I will never have to call a judge over. I'll just be like, hey, judge, just turn. There he is.
Is he the one with the pretty hair?
Oh, he's gorgeous.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I've definitely tried to flirt with him before and get nowhere. But
I'll put in a good word.
Hallie, who's on your team?
I'm on a team with my friends Kale and Parker, who are two people who I know from the Lady Planeswalker Society here in Seattle.
Yeah, yeah. I think Kale and I are friends on Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. I have to ask, though, how come your boyfriend's on your team?
He just started a new job recently and couldn't get time off.
Translation, you're really competitive and you scare him.
Maybe a little bit. He actually likes Team Sealed more than I do. He's the limited player, I'm the constructed player. Like, he's the brewer, I'm the deck tuner. Like, we help each other out.
I have to ask, though, do you guys two-headed giant often?
Yes, we do.
Okay, because I'm a big believer in you can tell how well a relationship's doing by the two-headed giant.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I've done two-headed giant before. Like, I know when pre-release time comes around, my local game store, we get a lot of couples that will do the two-headed giant. They won't do any other events with us, but they will come out for two-headed giant. And you can always tell the couples are doing really, really well because they work well together and they wait for each other to decide what they're doing. And then you get the couples that you literally watch fall apart in front of you. And they start airing out all of their grievances, and you have the guy who's like, well, if you wouldn't emasculate me, well, if you would take into account my feelings, they just sort of, and you and your partner are just like, should we declare it? No, let's ride this out. And then
I think before every marriage, there should be, you must have to do a two-headed giant together.
Yeah.
And then from that, they'll discern how many years you guys got.
You're here.
Do you and Trevor two-headed giant, Renee?
We do, and sometimes normally we're okay. The last two-headed giant we did was when I was driving from Delaware to DC for work, and I had been up since about 3:30, 4 a.m. that morning, and two-headed giant then started at midnight, and he had been up since about 6 a.m. for his job, and we got there, and we built our decks, and everything was good, and then we got through, like, about halfway of the first round, and we just got very cranky pants and tired at each other. So we were like, we're going to drop, and we're going to go home and go to sleep, and we're going to knock it out of the park tomorrow instead.
Well, at least you recognized it was happening. You didn't just stay and melt down.
No, we're very good about that. It was like, you know, we've been up for almost 24 hours now. I think it's sleep time.
I made the mistake of doing two-headed giant once with an ex-boyfriend. I like to compare two-headed giant to a high school dance, and I would rather dance with somebody I came with than dance with somebody on the bleachers. And this was a situation where I didn't have a partner and he didn't have a partner, and we ended on very strange terms. And we ended on strange terms, but he was still really happy to see me. And he was like, we should totally pair up. And I'm like, you didn't call me ever again. Like, no. And as luck would have it, we were the only two people without partners. So we had to do it. And it started off fine for a while, but then all of the issues of why we didn't work out manifested itself, where he didn't listen to me, I had to do everything, he even countered one of my spells for giggles. Yeah.
Oh,
well,
yeah,
gross.
Yeah, so by the
that
end of the game,
slap upside the head.
Yeah, so by the end of the game, I was like, this is why we did not work out. I was like, this is, I'm telling you, you know, Marie, you're probably onto something. You know, back in the day, you used to have to, like, go visit your preacher and, like, mm-hmm. do the wedding counseling. Mm-hmm. You have to go to
That's what I'm saying. There has been a study done that with people who are about to get married, they go and they answer some questions, and at the end they have a percentage of they give them a percentage of how well their marriage is going to do, and it has to do with, you know, how much they show that they care about their partner during the interview and how much they take their partner's feelings into account, et cetera, which I think can be easily discerned in a game of two-headed giant.
I want to be there for that conversation. Like, let's say you're there with your girlfriends and you're having a couple drinks, and they're like, you know, Maria, what happened? You know, why did it all go wrong? And they're like, you know, was he impotent? Was he violent? What was the problem? And you're like, he didn't have my removal spells when I needed them. And you're just crying, and they're like, what? And you're like, you know, and I gave him all the red spells, and he was supposed to be aggressive, and I had to be aggressive. And you're just losing your mind, and I want to be there for that. Like, that's,
yeah.
You know, I didn't want to be a control deck. I didn't want to do this. And your girlfriends are just like, they're there.
Yeah. Try it out. Report back to me.
All right. So if anybody has enjoyed listening to you guys on the show, where can they find you? How can they get a hold of you? We'll start with you, Maria.
Sure. You guys can check us out. Magic the Amateuring. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. We're on MTGcast, themetery.org, magicTheAmateuring.com. You can tweet at us at MTAcast. We also have a new series called My Roommate is a Planeswalker with some comedy videos on YouTube, which you can find through our website, magicTheAmateuring.com.
Now, I have to ask you, when is Ben going to have his playmat made? Because Ben's a cutie.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I guess because you'll have to catch him sometime in the shower and snap a quick pic.
I know I say that all the time. But I actually got to meet him in person, and he is a cutie patootie in person. I mean, you guys need to maximize that. Just saying.
Well, just give me a camera. I'm sure I can install it in a really creepy way.
And Hallie, where can people find you? How can they get a hold of you?
So people can find me on Twitter. My username is @HalCanSan. That's HalCanSan. And I'm on Tumblr, where I blog about my magic experiences. And my Tumblr is magicandrealism.tumblr.com.
Okay, and Renee?
You can find me on Twitter at MTGReiUnicorn. MTGREI. Unicorn, or at the MT, or hold on, at CMTY calendar MTG. That is the community calendar that Trevor and I put together.
Okay.
Get at us either on either of those and we'll get your events up, or if you just want to chat, I'm always up for that. I also write on MTG Bro Deals, and I always look for feedback on my articles, and I'll put it here first. I'm going to be opening up an entire box of Eventide.
Wow.
Which was my, it was my graduation gift to myself for graduating my master's program, and I will be videotaping the whole opening of that at my local game store and posting it up on there, so look for that in the next few weeks. And where else can you get at me at? And then I'll be all over the Mid-Atlantic and Northeast of the United States, and maybe going over to England for an event next year. So definitely keep an eye out for me and get in touch with me if you want to hang out and have dinner.
Now, where did your name come from, the Reunicorn thing?
Oh, dear Lord. The first time I was on your show, I was like, I don't do Twitter.
I remember.
I don't do Twitter. And then something about unicorns happened, and I was comparing them to rhinoceroses because I really liked rhinoceroses.
Okay.
And Brittany had said something about I'm a pretty magical unicorn. So it just kind of wound up sticking, and I put my nickname in there, which is Ray. So it just worked. It all fit in there. I got it all in there somehow. So it just kind of stayed.
I didn't know your nickname was Ray.
Yeah.
I've always just called you Renee.
It kind of varies from group to group. Like at the store, I have the younger kids who call me Renee, and then the more adult people call me Ray. And, you know, I feel kind of like I'm in Japan sometimes where I have this stratification of what people can call me.
Okay.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, I have that too.
I don't care what you call me as long as it's not late for dinner.
Yeah, I have that too. You know, if I go to one store, I'm Erin. If I go to another store, I'm Erin Campbell from the Deck Tees. If I go to another store, I'm that redhead bitch. If I go to I thought we were doing that. Hallie, while we're on the subject of nicknames, how do you feel about Hal?
Oh, people call me Hal all the time.
Okay, you're fine with that. Okay.
That's fine.
Okay, cuz I was tempted to do that and I wasn't sure how you felt. So okay, so Hal's cool. Okay. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on the show. I had a lot of fun doing this. I just needed to do something fun and casual and get some feels off my chest, and I appreciate you guys joining me and helping me do that.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And if anyone's enjoyed listening to the Deck Tees, you can always find the show first and foremost on GatheringMagic.com. The show is on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Please subscribe and leave me a review and some stars. You can follow the show on Twitter at the Deck Tees. You can follow me on Twitter at Original Estrus. And you can also email me personally at estrus@elitistrix.com. Thank you all so much for listening, and please take care of yourselves. Okay? Bye.